As we come to look at God's words today, let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the drama that is seen in your word. Help us to get down to what's really important in your message, to see the relevance for us in the situation we find ourselves, and to be willing to listen and to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, history repeats itself. In our morning services, as we've been looking at the book of Daniel, we've been seeing history repeating itself. Babylon, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, has been a place of dreams, of idols, of fiery furnaces. Daniel and others have had to live out their faith in this situation. They've continued to worship God and to build their lives on him. They've spoken of their faith being led by God into difficult and dangerous situations where their reliance has had to be even greater on God. But last week we finished on a high. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged God and how he holds his life in his hands. We read these words. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exhort and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and to those who walk in pride he is able to humble. This week, we move on to Belshazzar, Daniel 5. I think we just need a bit of a background to Belshazzar and to know that it's thought that he probably wasn't actually the son of Nebuchadnezzar, but actually a successor. Belshazzar was possibly the son of Nabonidus. And he had decided to take an extended absence of leave to go off into the desert and left Belshazzar in charge. So that explains why in verse 7 and 16 we read that Belshazzar offers to make the person who told him the meaning of the writing the third ruler in the kingdom. Anyway, our passage begins with a party, always a good place to start. A party with lots of people in attendance, all having a good time. Can you imagine the noise and the hustle and bustle of 1,000 people eating and drinking? Belshazzar is enjoying the celebration, possibly basking in the fact that there are so many people there. Plenty to eat and drink. People having a good time. He was the centre of attention. And then, to show himself as being such a great king, he gives orders for the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem to be brought in for the people to drink from. Belshazzar plainly showing off. Showing that he has the power to order such things to happen. Be a bit like one of us deciding to take home the communion cups here today and using them to drink from with our Sunday lunch. What would the purpose be of doing that? Probably already got perfectly good glasses to drink from. Be purely a case of showing off. Showing that we have the ability to do such a thing. Is it then a question of power? I want to do this. I'm able to do this. So I will do this. Last Sunday, Bishop Jonathan talked about rational choice theory. Don't worry, I'm not going to go back over that. Listen to it on the website if you missed it last week. that idea of power. Where is God in that situation? For make no mistake, he's there, but I have pushed him out. It's a bit like those video clips where we see two children vying to be the center of the shot, pushing each other out of the way. But God does not do the pushing. He does not, first of all, push himself on us. He doesn't need to do that. He's the Creator, our Heavenly Father. He is wherever we are, but so often we're the ones that push him away. It's part of who we are. Belshazzar, you and I are no different in that respect. We want the focus to be on me, and so we need to be reminded that our focus should be God. That's one of the reasons why it's important that we gather to worship together. It's a way of reminding us that each one of us belongs to God, where we have the opportunity to acknowledge in our confession that we get it wrong, where when we come to communion, we take the body and blood of Christ. We receive Christ, remembering all that he did and continues to do for us, where we can be filled again by the Holy Spirit. So, our focus needs to be on God, but not just on a Sunday, but every day. How do we do that? When I was growing up, much was made of the need for a quiet time, a time set aside for daily reading of the Bible and for prayer. The trouble was, life so often got in the way. And one day, and then another day would slip by, and that can lead to guilt. And in some senses, I got through life okay without it. But without this daily discipline, there is danger, because our focus becomes centered on me, what I want, what I'm doing, rather than being God-focused. So I'm going to encourage you, if you don't already do it, to set aside a time to read the Bible and to pray. These days there are lots of ways of doing it. Just look online, Google it. I'm sure you'll find something that will be helpful. You may need to try out a few before you find one that actually works for you. And I think it's a learning process that changes as we get older. Perhaps one thing's more suitable than another. Sometimes, many times actually, I still get it wrong. But God uses these opportunities when we turn to him, when we turn the focus away from ourselves. He speaks, he comforts, he encourages, he sets us on the right track. If you're not sure how to go about doing this, ask God. Ask him to show you and expect him to respond. Okay, so that party is in full swing. Belshazzar has shown off his power, and that leads him and those around him to start to praise the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood. This would at least suggest that Belshazzar and the partygoers are at least acknowledging something outside of themselves. They might not have been completely focused on self. They recognize that the goblets they have in their hands and the objects around them are of some worth, of some value. But they are only things. So we see that Belshazzar is holding things to be of importance. What about us? and the things we have, our possessions. Your house is on fire. The people are safe, but you have the opportunity to rescue three objects. What would you take? I'm sure we've all heard of that sort of scenario. We may even have our list written. I hope none of us ever have to go through that experience. For at the end, we can't take these things with us. But still, there is something about things, about the car, the house, the holiday, the clothes, that we in our society still hold on to. Why? What should our response as Christians be? I'd like to suggest that it has a lot to do with our sense of worth and where we find our worth. If I'm able to show that I've got this particular thing, it means that in monetary terms, I'm worth this much. And yet, our real worth needs to be found in God. Each one of us, without exception, is a precious and much loved child of God. All of us. We are so precious that God sent Jesus, his own Son, to die for us so that we can have free, unhindered access to him. There is no monetary payment involved in that. It's a gift. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we don't need to put our worth in things. They are temporary. They are actually worth less. But instead, we find our worth in God. Then we receive eternal life, everlasting life, life that starts now. Life that is not worthless, but life that has a worth far greater than any object we can ever have. At this point, God intervenes in Belshazzar's party. A hand appears, and unsurprisingly, seeing the writing, Belshazzar is afraid. But even in his fear, he uses his power, his status, and his wealth to find a solution. Verse 7, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed round his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." No one appears able to help Belshazzar until the queen reminds him about Daniel, and so Daniel is summoned. Note that as Daniel is questioned, again he is told of the power he will be given, of the wealth that will be his, if he's able to explain what is going on. But Daniel, he rejects what Belshazzar has to offer. He doesn't want these things, yet he will still do what is required of him. For in explaining the meaning of the words, he's able to point to God. What about us? Are we willing to do what is required of us without taking the power, the wealth, and the status in order to point to God? Daniel does not launch straight away into an explanation of what the words mean. Instead, he looks back. He reminds Belshazzar of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. But more importantly, God's role in Nebuchadnezzar's life. Again, see the bishop's sermon on that aspect. I just want to say something very briefly about what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, though. Because in one sense, I don't think there's an easy, clear explanation for Nebuchadnezzar's experience. It could easily appear to us as if he had some sort of mental breakdown. The God I believe in does not cause us to experience mental illness. It can be all too easy to read a passage like this and to think, Nebuchadnezzar didn't follow God, therefore God caused him to have a breakdown. When he sorts himself out, God restores him. And perhaps to substitute our own name for that of Nebuchadnezzar. Mental illness is something that happens, possibly more frequently than we realize. It happens to Christians as well as to people who do not share our faith. Please do not see illness of this sort, or of any sort, as a punishment from God. What should our response be then? As a church, we must support one another with mental illness as much as we support one another with physical health. But we have to acknowledge we don't always get it right. But the church, that's me as well as you and you and you and you, all have a part to play in supporting one another. If you or someone you know is experiencing mental illness, can I encourage you not to go through this on your own? Find someone who you trust to come alongside you to support you. Talk to Phil about it. To myself, ask at the Connect desk for details of groups within the church who may be able to help. My own family in the past have experience of illness due to stress and breakdown. And God provided people from this church to support us in some very dark and difficult times. We need to be people who live out lives that are real, where God is allowed to be at the center of all, even mental illness. So Daniel explains to Belshazzar where he has gone wrong. Even though you knew of Nebuchadnezzar, you did not humble yourself. Verse 23 says, instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You did not honor the God who holds in his hands your life and all your ways. Belshazzar has gone his own way. He's decided that wealth, status, and power are the gods that he wants to be led by. Even though he was afraid when the hand appears, it does not stop him from going his own way. He still decides to look at what he has and who he is rather than turning to God. Jesus told a parable to a man arguing with his brother over an inheritance. You find it in Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. It says this. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And who will get what you have prepared for yourselves? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Again, we read of a man who has much in terms of wealth, who wants to hold on to what he has and to use his status in order to live a life of excess. Yet what is taken from him is his very life, just like that of Belshazzar. As we prepare for communion, we will hear a reminder of all that God has given us. Jesus. His coming to earth and living amongst us, his death, his resurrection, has made a decisive change to history. So we need to ask of ourselves, what about us? Is our life or an aspect of our life dependent on our power, our status, or our wealth? What difference will Jesus make to our history? Let us pray. Lord God, we acknowledge that so often we put ourselves centre stage, when actually you should be the one at the very centre of all that we are. Thank you that through Jesus we are able to come to you and to know you and to know that you are life itself. Help us in the days ahead to think about the difference that you make to our history, and help us to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.